A system that practically predicts the future, influence over global politics, and a $10 trillion asset wallet. This is the story of BlackRock and how they became the most overpowered company in the world. BlackRock's might. BlackRock is the financial equivalent of the Incredible Hulk. Massive, powerful, and impossible to ignore. With $10 trillion in assets under management, BlackRock controls more money than the GDP of Germany, Japan, and the UK combined. If BlackRock were a country, it would be the third largest economy on Earth, just behind the United States and China. No, that's not a joke. That's a terrifying fact. One that makes BlackRock the most powerful organization you'd never want to mess with. What makes BlackRock so mighty? It's not just about the money, although that helps. It's about influence. Through its ownership stakes in some of the world's largest corporations, BlackRock can sway decisions at Google, Apple, ExxonMobil, and pretty much any other company you can name. BlackRock isn't just another big bank or hedge fund. It's the godfather of modern finance, quietly moving chess pieces while everyone else plays checkers. With this level of power comes a seat at the table of global governance. BlackRock doesn't just play on Wall Street, it consults for governments, including the US Treasury, and during the 2008 financial crisis, it was instrumental in managing government bailouts. Its reach extends into the halls of power in Europe, Asia, and beyond. If there's a major financial decision to be made, BlackRock is likely whispering in someone's ear. And while other financial institutions may collapse in tough times, looking at you, Lehman Brothers, BlackRock is too big to fail. And some say, too powerful to regulate. They're the ultimate silent partner, making decisions that affect markets, businesses, and economies around the world. But BlackRock wasn't always the giant it is today. In fact, their relatively humble beginning will instantly make your jaw drop, especially considering that it all started 3.5 decades ago as a risk management project. The origins. Before BlackRock was ruling the financial world like a Wall Street Darth Vader, it was just a scrappy little startup with big dreams and even bigger need for redemption. The year was 1988, and Larry Fink, the man who would one day become synonymous with trillion-dollar management, was nursing a bruised ego after a major financial blunder. What kind of blunder, you ask? Oh, just the small matter of losing $90 million while working at First Boston. No biggie, right? Just some pocket change. But Fink didn't crawl under a rock. Instead, he got mad. Mad enough to build what some would perceive as the empire of evil, apparently. Armed with his knowledge of risk management, ironically the very thing that had caused him to lose all that money, Fink partnered with Blackstone and a handful of other financiers to start Blackstone Financial Management, soon to be renamed BlackRock. After a friendly little split with Blackstone, took off. By 1989, they were already managing $2.7 billion. It turns out when you're really good at making sure money doesn't just disappear,
90 million.
People trust you with their cash. By the time the company went public in 1999, it had $165 billion in assets under management. And Larry Fink was on his way to becoming the king of finance. But while Fink had conquered risk management, BlackRock was just getting started. Now, with its risk control crown firmly in place, it was time to unleash the real secret weapon. A piece of technology so powerful that it would soon be controlling trillions of dollars in assets worldwide. Yes, we're talking about Aladdin. And no, there are no magic carpets, just trillions upon trillions of dollars. Aladdin system. When people hear Aladdin, they probably think of a magical genie granting wishes. And to be honest, they're not far off the truth. Larry thinks Aladdin is practically the same, only much more powerful. I mean, why settle for three wishes when you can have a system that manages $21 trillion in assets? That's right. BlackRock's Aladdin system is the technical backbone behind its empire. And it's more like a financial crystal ball than a lamp. What is Aladdin really? Well, in the simplest terms, it's a risk management system. But calling Aladdin a risk management system is like calling the Hulk just a guy with a temper. Aladdin is an all-seeing, all-knowing financial supercomputer. It tracks 250,000 trades a day, monitors 30,000 portfolios, and processes $21 trillion in assets worldwide. It's so good at what it does that 100 financial institutions, including competitors, actually rent out Aladdin to manage their own portfolios. That's like asking Iron Man to borrow his suit because your pajamas aren't cutting it anymore. But Aladdin isn't just sitting behind a desk with a calculator. It performs 170 calculations per week to sniff out potential risks and make sure BlackRock's clients don't find themselves waking up to financial nightmares. In a world where one wrong move can cause markets to crash, looking at you, the 2008 financial crisis, Aladdin is like a Fortune 500 insurance policy. Plus, it doesn't hurt that every time a competitor uses Aladdin, BlackRock gets paid. That's right, BlackRock profits from both using the system and letting others borrow it, making it the Amazon of risk management. And here's the kicker. Aladdin is not just for nerdy bankers. It's for governments, insurance companies, and even pension funds. Everyone from Wall Street titans to retirement planners is entrusting their money to BlackRock's trusty AI assistant. With its ability to predict the future of markets, well, almost, Aladdin is the invisible hand guiding the financial world through its ups and downs. Still, Aladdin was just the beginning. As BlackRock's tech empire grew, they set their sights on dominating another game-changing financial product, the ETF. ETFs and iShares. In 2009, BlackRock made a $13.5 billion acquisition of Barclays Global Investors, BGI. Instantly gaining control of iShares, the world's largest provider of exchange-traded funds, ETFs. This was no ordinary acquisition. It was like BlackRock had just bought the golden goose of the financial world. With this move, they positioned themselves as the undisputed king of ETFs. Now, what makes ETFs so special? They're essentially the fast food of investments. Cheap, convenient, and easy to get. Instead of buying individual stocks, investors can buy ETFs, which track indexes like S&P 500, or focus on niche sectors like clean energy or cybersecurity. BlackRock's iShares ETFs offered investors a buffet of options, and soon, everyone wanted a bite. By cornering the ETF market, BlackRock didn't just influence stock exchanges, it began controlling the financial diets of investors worldwide. At this point, BlackRock wasn't just managing assets, they were building financial highways for investors, allowing everyday people to invest like Wall Street pros. And with assets in iShares now topping $3 trillion, BlackRock had turned ETFs into one of its most significant revenue streams. Their ETFs span across markets, from basic commodity funds to highly specialized sectors. In other words, BlackRock doesn't just follow the market, They shape it. Of course, dominating the ETF market wasn't enough. BlackRock was already thinking about the next big move. And it involved something even bigger. Acquiring, merging, and swallowing up companies like a financial black hole. Acquisitions and mergers. By the time BlackRock had locked down its ETF empire, it was like a kid in a candy store, with a billionaire's budget and no parental supervision. But instead of grabbing candy bars, BlackRock started grabbing entire companies. And let's be clear, BlackRock doesn't just buy companies, it devours them, adding more zeros to its assets with every acquisition. The acquisition spree kicked off in 2004 with the purchase of State Street Research and Management, which added a humble $325 billion to BlackRock's already growing portfolio. Think of it like they were upgrading from a family sedan to a private jet. But that was only the appetizer. In 2006, BlackRock merged with Merrill Lynch Investment Managers. And suddenly, they were managing $1 trillion in assets. That's not just an upgrade. That's like going from riding a bicycle to owning the entire Tour de France. But BlackRock was just getting started. In 2009, they pulled off one of the biggest power moves in finance by acquiring Barclays Global Investors, BGI, for $13.5 billion. This deal gave them control of iShares and catapulted their assets under management to an eye-watering $3 trillion. It's like BlackRock woke up one day and decided, hey, what if we just owned the financial universe? And that's pretty much what happened. They went from being a big player to the player. The kind of player that makes other financial firms tremble at the mention of their name. Now, with $10 trillion under their belt, they started expanding beyond stocks and bonds. BlackRock branched into real estate, scooping up Centerbridge Partners' real estate debt business. Because hey, when you manage more money than most countries' entire GDP, why not throw in a few office buildings while you're at it? They even dipped their toes into infrastructure by acquiring Global Infrastructure Partners for $3 billion in 2021. Because controlling the roads we drive on might as well be the next logical step. These acquisitions weren't just about getting bigger. They were about domination. BlackRock didn't just want to play the financial game. They wanted to own the board, the dice, and the rule book. But with all that power, BlackRock's influence wasn't just limited to Wall Street. It was about to stretch across the globe. That's precisely when the true power of BlackRock started to shine. BlackRock's global influence. When you manage $10 trillion, you don't just make waves, you control the tides. By the time BlackRock was done gobbling up companies and expanding its empire, it had something few companies ever achieve. Global influence. And I'm not talking about we're a big deal on Wall Street kind of influence. I'm talking about the we can shake governments and alter economies kind of influence. It's like Larry Fink woke up one day and decided to save the world by dangling trillions of dollars in front of corporate CEOs. His annual letters to the heads of the world's largest companies have become the corporate version of a stern talking to from your grandma. Be good, or we'll take our money elsewhere. And since BlackRock is often the largest shareholder in these companies, that's not a threat, it's a financial doomsday warning. In other words, BlackRock can strong-arm CEOs into going green faster than a celebrity at a climate change gala. From pushing companies to adopt sustainable practices to flexing its financial muscles on social issues, BlackRock is basically the hall monitor of the corporate world. Mess with the environment or your employees? Expect Larry Fink to write you a stern letter and maybe pull a few billion from your stock. Not a bad way to keep the playground in check. And it's not just the corporate world bending to BlackRock's will. Governments turn to them in moments of crisis. Remember the 2008 financial meltdown? Well, while the rest of us were wondering if our saving accounts would still exist, BlackRock was quietly helping the US Treasury and the Federal Reserve manage the crisis. You know you've made it when the most powerful economy on Earth is calling you for financial advice. They didn't stop there. BlackRock's tentacles spread into European central banks, Japan's financial systems, and Chinese markets, advising on everything from stimulus packages to managing state funds. Basically, if there's a financial problem somewhere on the planet, there's a good chance Larry Fink and his gang of spreadsheet wizards are sitting in a room somewhere holding a calculator and muttering, "We've got this." BlackRock has influence over pension funds, insurance giants, and sovereign wealth funds around the world. At this point, if BlackRock isn't involved in your financial planning, are you even planning anything at all? But while they've been busy advising countries and saving economies, it hasn't all been smooth sailing. There's been more than a little controversy brewing, and a few conspiracy theories to boot. Turns out when you're this big, you can't escape a few raised eyebrows. Controversies and criticisms. When you're as big as BlackRock, people don't just start whispering about you behind your back, they start crafting full-blown conspiracy theories. And let's be honest, with $10 trillion in assets, ties to governments, and control over some of the largest companies in the world, BlackRock has all the ingredients for a financial supervillain in a Marvel movie. One of the juiciest conspiracies? That BlackRock is actually the real shadow government pulling all the strings. Forget about Illuminati, BlackRock's the one people imagine is controlling the economy, politics, and probably even the weather. It's the theory that makes people wonder if Larry Fink has a secret lair somewhere, filled with monitors showing global stock tickers while he strokes a cat and cackles ominously. It's almost funny until you realize that BlackRock has advised governments like the US and European central banks during financial crises, making some conspiracy theorists' eyebrows raise higher than the S&P 500 during a market rally. Another controversy that frequently pops up is BlackRock's involvement in the 2008 financial crisis cleanup. During the meltdown, while everyone else was wondering if their 401k had just turned into monopoly money, BlackRock was right in the thick of it. The US government tapped them to help manage the toxic assets that nearly sank the global economy. And while that sounds like a noble task, cleaning up the mess Wall Street made, some critics argued that BlackRock stood to gain too much power and influence in the process. It's like asking the guy with the biggest broom to clean it up, and then he buys your house in the process. And let's not forget ESG investing. Sure, it sounds good on paper, companies doing better by the environment and society, but some critics accuse BlackRock of virtue signaling, claiming the company is more interested in profit than actually making a difference. It's like saying we're doing it for the planet while making sure you're still raking in billions. A win-win for BlackRock, but a head-scratcher for environmental purists. Then there's the market manipulation theory. Some suggest that because BlackRock has stakes in so many companies, it can move markets at the flick of a wrist, like a financial puppet master. Want to make stocks go up? Push a few buttons. Need them to dip? Pull some strings. Critics worry that when you're that big, it's hard to avoid accidentally controlling the world like it's one giant expensive game of risk. Whether it's true or not, the controversies and conspiracies surrounding BlackRock aren't going anywhere. When you have the power to reshape markets, advise governments, and make CEOs shake in their boardroom chairs, people are bound to come up with wild theories. Of course, BlackRock is nothing more than an overexcited toddler when it comes to conspiracies. After all, according to some awe-inspiring gentlemen exquisitely dressed in tinfoil headwear, the Rothschilds have been ruling the world for the past 2 centuries. So BlackRock has a lot to learn. And all of this because they were like BlackRock back in the day. Actually, they are still among the richest families in the world, and their secretive lifestyle still fuels the mad dreams of some conspiracy theorists. Still, if you want to learn the truth about how the Rothschilds live their opulent lives, I have a video just for you.